Lesson 2 is entitled The Voice of Christian Authority, and it will deal with what is the true authority within the Christian community. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Many people today speak of the Bible as the authority for Christians. And some demonstrate a hostile spirit to any observances, teachings, or rituals not rooted in the written verses of the Scriptures. Their constant refrain being, "Where is that in the Bible?" Unfortunately, many Catholics are slipping into this attitude without realizing it implies for us an erroneous doctrine. The Catholic Church holds the Bible in the highest esteem. The Church has guarded and preserved the Bible through the ages. The Church knows the Bible to be a major source for authoritative truth, but not the voice of authority in the Christian community. Authority itself must be something other than the Scriptures. Take, for example, the observance of Sunday as the Lord's Day. The Scriptures confirm that the Lord's Day is Saturday. Some authority outside of the Scriptures changed that for Christians. With the exception of the Seventh-day Adventists, the Lord's Day is Sunday, not Saturday. Another example is the books of the Bibles, which we discussed in our first lesson. In our Old Testament, we find the books of Wisdom, Tobit, Judith, Sirach, and 1st and 2nd Maccabees. But you will not find these books in the standard King James Version of the Old Testament. Two things these books have in common are that they were originally written in Greek, and the Protestant Church holds them not to be inspired, or for that matter, that they should be there. For over 1600 years, these books were considered inspired by the Christian community. They were removed from the partisan publications of the Scriptures. There is nothing in the Old Testament that says God only inspires in Hebrew. Nothing is said one way or the other about what must be the language of the Scriptures. Yet these books were removed because they had been produced in Greek rather than Hebrew. One authority put them in the Bible, and another authority took them out. St. Paul teaches that all Scripture is inspired of God, but inspiration only refers to the original Hebrew and Greek versions of the Scripture. How can we know, then, because this is what they were originally written in, how can we know, then, that our English translations are valid translations of those inspired works? In other words, how do we know that what we read in English is what was really expressed in the original language of the Scriptures, whether it was Hebrew or Greek? We have to look for an authority outside of the Bible to confirm the truth of this matter. What we see in actual practice is that both Catholics and Protestants admit to a religious authority outside the Bible. For a thing to be Christian and true, it does not have to be written in the Bible. The question now rises, what is the proper authority in the Christian community if it is not the Scriptures? Without a doubt, the authority is Jesus Christ. It was around his person and teachings the Church came into existence. The life of Jesus terminated on this earth around 33 A.D., but the Church continues in existence. Jesus appointed a visible successor to take his place in the Church, to be the symbol of unity and to be a principle for preserving unity in the Church. The early church acknowledged this success of Jesus to be the apostle Simon Peter. They knew of Jesus' words to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. No mere man has revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And I, for my part, declare to you, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church, and the jaws of death shall not prevail against it. I will entrust to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 through 19. Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, remember that Satan has asked for you to sift you all like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith may never fail. You in turn must strengthen your brothers. Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Simon was part of a special group called the 12 apostles that Jesus set apart, trained, and authorized to continue his church on earth. They were the 12 foundation stones of the church. Of necessity, the successor of Jesus must ensure and assure that the teachings of Jesus be preserved and taught in their fullness. This the church accomplished by preaching the gospel. Only when it became apparent that there would be a long delay before the second coming, and the early gospel witnesses were dying, did the church realize the importance of a written gospel. The church was in existence many years before the written scriptures of the New Testament appeared. If you could go back in a time machine to 50 AD in Jerusalem, you would find an active Christian community, and you would find Simon Peter, the visible leader of that community. But you could not find anywhere the four gospel accounts. They had yet to be written. If you had said then, "Where is that in the scriptures?" the early Christian community would have presumed you meant the Old Testament. If you made it clear that you meant something pertaining to the life and teachings of the church of Jesus Christ, the Christians in 50 AD would have replied, "Oh, that is a teaching of the Christian community." If you ask, "How do you know it is true?" "On the authority of the eyewitnesses, the 12 apostles," they would reply. You would have found a living teaching authority in the Christian community. These teachings of the apostles were preserved in the memory of the Christian community. In later years, some were written down and others were not. But they lived on in the memory of the church. In St. John's Gospel, remember we read, there are still many other things that Jesus did, yet if they were written about in detail, I doubt there would be room enough in the entire world to hold the books to record them. These unwritten truths live on in the living traditions of the church. These truths, both written and unwritten, became the deposit of faith, the inspired and the authoritative sources of all Christian teachings, from which the teaching authorities, the successors of the apostles, would draw from. The church must always return to its authoritative sources, the written scriptures and the oral traditions of the apostles, for the roots of its teachings. These oral traditions of the apostles can today be found scattered and recorded in the writings of the early Christian writers such as Ignatius of Antioch, Clement of Rome, Origen of Alexandria. They can be found living in the practices and the teachings of the Catholic Church. A true Catholic must recognize that the living teaching authority of Christ's continues in the church, in the bishop of Rome, and in the bishops, the successors of the apostles. The authority for what we believe is the church. We believe because the church teaches it. If we desire, we can trace the roots of these teachings back to their primitive and inspired sources, the teachings of the apostles. We can have confidence in the teaching authority of the church because Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to guide and preserve the church in truth. He said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another paraclete to be with you always, the Spirit of truth. The paraclete, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will instruct you in everything and remind you of all that I told you. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 26, we will find these quotations. Those our Lord places in the church to be his teachers and shepherds receive a special charism from the Holy Spirit to carry out this duty, as we can read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. In another place, we will deal in a more thorough way in the powers that were given and the authority to St. Peter and to his successors. A Catholic who really knows his faith truly knows the very heart and essence of the written scriptures, whether he or she can quote the verses of scripture or not. But he also knows much more. His faith carries within itself the seeds and the flowering of the fullness of Christian revelation. Our faith is completely biblical, but it is more than biblical, because divine revelation was not confined solely to the written scriptures, and that is in the Bible, John 21, verse 25. This concludes lesson number 2. God bless you.